If you sign up to the SAFcast on Patreon at patreon.com/thesafcast, you'll receive early access episodes and bonus podcasts. Thanks. I'm here with Sean McVeigh, All Saints footballer and former Antrim footballer. Sean, how's it going with you?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. Under lockdown, doing all right.
Yeah, I suppose trying to make the most of the circumstances that we're in at the moment.
That's it. That's all you can do. Just look for the positives of it. Get to spend a lot more time with family.
Yeah, being kept busy there, I'm sure. Looking at the, I suppose the place to start would be like it's, if we're looking at the 2020 season there and how it went for yourselves and All Saints, you look at the, I suppose the novelty of the group stages when they were introduced and following lockdown and just even the relief of getting out in the field again and getting even, I'm sure yous are, like a lot of clubs had probably more at training than that first training session back than yous ever had.
It was unbelievable. We had, I'm telling you, we actually had a problem because we had 60 plus names and I didn't even know there were 60 footballers in bombing it. But it's a good problem to have. But yeah, we had, like I think when you were allowed to start training in smaller groups, we had 7 or 8 small groups of 10 to 12 training all over bombing it until we were asked to move off different fields. It was fun. I think everybody just really missed getting out, playing football, but more importantly, I suppose seeing their mates and having a bit of crack, which you don't really realise you're having when you're training or playing football until it's taken away from you.
Yeah, because it's that kind of if anything during a regular season, it's that going down whatever every other night to the field or whatever. It's kind of something that just sort of happens, but when it's gone, it's really, really a big hole in a lot of people's lives.
And you get in a normal season, you get fatigued, and you know it becomes more like a chore. Gaelic games for everybody who plays it is like, well, I think it's like a love hate. You absolutely love it; it's your life, but it becomes like a chore that you have to go out to training. But this season, it was, you know, it wasn't a chore. It was actually a luxury that you were getting to go out and play football and train and then get to play a lot of games, which down to the county, you know, you have to take your hat off to the county board who sorted the fixtures out. Like we didn't miss too many, you know, we didn't play too many less games than we did the previous years, which is hats off to the county board and the people who made up the fixtures.
Yeah, because that kind of round robin that was introduced, getting those, I don't know, did you just play a league game just before it as well?
We played one league game just before that, which again, you know, people were saying, why are we playing one league game and then waiting for so long? But it was a perfect chance to get a game before championship.
Yeah, some of the stuff I've talked to a few people this year who have mentioned about it, and they've said even the simplicity of this season, where it was like there weren't gathering team meetings in changing rooms or in boardrooms and that, or there wasn't, you know, we couldn't gather up to look at the screen for something. It was jerseys hanging on the wire. You picked up your jersey, like that kind of simplicity was nice for a lot of people.
We were literally, even at training, you were driving right up to the pitch. You're putting your boots on in the car, you're training, and then you're going in the car and driving off. And for games, you weren't in the changing room, so you were just bringing your bags, putting along the side of the pitch and warming up and going out and play. And, you know, there was no, like, something that just personally annoys me and I don't like is managers asking you to come to the changing room maybe an hour and a half before the game.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there. And you're sitting there and you know, you're driving, especially big championship games and county games, when you're just sitting there building nerves. I used to really, really hate it.
Yeah.
It took that away. There was no time to get nervous. You just ran out in the warm-up and got on. So the simplicity of it was fantastic.
Yeah, there was. I can't remember whose interview. I was listening to some other interview with a player. I think it was the fella that I think it was your fella Wallace that scored the winner from in the Meath County final that came on as a sub. But he had mentioned about, you know, when you're sitting in the stands before a game and you're all spread out, you're just doing your own thing. There's not that tension building in the change room and that. So it probably does actually play a factor, and maybe people reevaluate things going forward.
Absolutely. I think just like everything in life and society, you know, it's starting to get overcomplicated. And I think what COVID-19 has brought in is just the simplicity of things. And, you know, the simplicity of things. You even look at the All-Ireland Championship this year. It was knockout. It was quite simple. You know, it was fantastic. It was a novelty. And we really, really enjoyed it as viewers, as spectators, and as a player playing in a shortened season. It was great.
Yeah, for yous in the intermediate championship, yous obviously had a strong performances throughout the group. I think the last game against St Paul's was the toughest game yous faced, and obviously St Paul's, I think they went on to the semi-final as well. I suppose getting out and getting those games again was the most important thing at that stage for yous.
Absolutely, you know, we got out and we had a few. I actually thought the group we were in was going to be a lot harder than it was. We didn't really get challenged the first couple of games, but then St Paul's, we were actually very lucky to beat St Paul's. We draw with them. We were lucky to get a point off them anyway. I think we scored a point towards the end. But that game gave us, you know, a kick. So we were winning those other games by a lot of points, and we maybe thought we were a lot better than we were. So that kind of brought us down to earth again. Didn't materialise to help us out any when we played against them now, but, you know, I think because of the way the season was, training was brilliant. Training was so intense, and there was a real championship bite about it. You know, the intensity was good. It was short, sharp sessions. Intensity was good, and we felt really good going into the championship. And in the group games, we were happy and we were confident against Dunloy, but it just didn't go our way.
Against Dunloy then, it was a 3-point defeat, and Dunloy have had a good record at intermediate in terms of getting to the final. Now they've not just got over the finishing line, but they're a team, obviously, you know, they're hurling success in recent years, but they are a team at that level who, you know, well, a hard, difficult team to beat.
Absolutely, they've had a lot of success, and they've been a good intermediate championship team, and they've had a lot of success in it. And they've had even more success against us. You know, they would be one of our bogey teams. You know, I do believe if there was no hurling, Dunloy would be a very, very strong Division One senior championship team because they've got quality footballers all over the pitch. But you know, we were confident going into that game that we were going to win it, but. You know, I think Dunloy really did their homework on us quite well, and we're traditionally very big and strong right up the middle, and Dunloy played to the wings really well, and it's, you know, we had a sweeper in, and the Dunloy just caught out the sweeper, and we didn't react to that well enough, and they got a good start. I do think the 3 points, you know, I think they on the day they were better than 3 points.
Yeah, well, yourself then, I know you've played midfield, you've played fullback, and that this year you were kind of, you're probably a little bit deeper than usual and kind of whenever you're playing in the club.
Yeah, it started off just natural, just, you know, I saw a gap and I was filling in, you know, I wasn't told to do it. Yeah. And, you know, it was probably the season before that I started doing it, and I suppose I'm getting older, so it probably suits me that I'm not box to box midfielder anymore. So I'm sitting back, and it worked well for us, I thought, and I enjoyed doing it. But it wasn't something that was planned. It just happened naturally, and I think that's one of the things that happened against Dunloy. I wasn't in as that sweeper midfielder. I just played a conventional midfield player. And I think maybe that threw me off a bit because I was used to that position. But you live and you learn these games.
Yeah, and actually, just when you're mentioning about midfielders, so a few years ago, I remember playing against, so it was our seniors, Ballycastle seniors, playing against, would have been your reserves. And I remember coming up against Timmy Connolly in midfield there. And he must have been, I don't know, early 40s or that there. And he was he was unbelievable. You know, he was physical as ever, dominating in that there. Like, what sort of, I suppose he's had some kind of, for your club anyway, he's like been a real standout player. But I just remember like people talk, like I was younger, I didn't know who he was in that, but he was dominant.
Yeah, Timmy's a fantastic footballer, played for Antrim, represented Ulster. Was a great footballer, and you know, I played maybe 7-8 years with Timmy on the Bannion senior team. And he's not overly tall, but he's just got that ability to
he won everything in the air. Like, yeah.
He's strong and he just times his jump really well. Like he was a very talented footballer. And when I came into the senior team, this is my 22nd season. So when I came in 22 years ago, we had a lot of really quality footballers who were coming to the end of their playing days. You know, we had Timmy, we had Barney McCann, we had a few players that got you involved, were represented Antrim and Ulster, and Timmy was definitely one of the standouts. And even as you say, when he got older, he came in and did a job for the seniors and sent half forward. He just a bit like Paddy Logan for us in more recent times. He just, you know, when you needed that bit of class to calm the ball down, slow everything down, and you know, is it the things that only certain gifted players can do? That, you know, those boys were definitely those type of players.
Yeah, it was just that kind of bit of a Rolls Royce of a player that just kind of would hold on to the ball and give it off at the right times and all, just settle, say, the younger ones who are coming.
Yeah, just slows it down, and just calms everybody else around him. And Timmy and Paddy probably more so, because I played longer with Paddy. Paddy Logan was definitely one of those players who just calmed things down in the last 10 minutes. If you were up a couple of points, you wanted Paddy on the ball.
Yeah, no, it's just anything, just always associated with like my earlier years playing. I get playing against Ballymena, it was coming up, you know, I say it was against the reserve playing Fesh or something like that there, like I'm playing, and it was just always something that stood out there. In terms of like kind of Ballymena and All Saints at the minute, like there's a lot of investment going on in terms of your setup there and facilities, the community involvement and all there. Like we've played quite a few championship matches there, because anytime we get drawn against a Belfast team, we're always put to Ballymena, Rasharkin or Ramelstown or that there. And the investment that's been in recent years there seems to be really, like, really noticeable anyway.
Yeah, we've got a very forward-thinking committee, and they're putting a lot of hard work into the club and into the grounds around the club. We've developed the pitch across the road. We call it Quinn Park, across the road from the main pitch, and it's been great. I think that's where a lot of the championship games are. Yeah. It's been great. You know, the surface there is unbelievable. It's really good. You know, our committee have been very heavily involved in developing the juveniles and bringing them through. But it's all been helped with the dynamics and demographic in Ballymena has completely changed. When I was growing up playing underage football there and hurling, there was very few people in my class. Very few of my friends played football. I was definitely the minority. But now every child from 5-6 years old is up at the pitch playing around, and that's just I suppose down to the schools and down to our chairman, Jim Brady, who's the principal of the local school as well, has just drived it from there. And we've seen some success. Our juvenile teams are doing quite well.
Yeah, I was going to say, was there obviously then a big push in terms of the awareness in the schools? But, I mean, Jim's obviously, he's in a pretty good position to make sure that happens there.
Absolutely, yeah. Big, massive awareness in both St. Bridget's and St. Colm Kills. And, you know, I would say the majority of those young boys and girls at that school, football and hurling GAA games would be their priority, whereas when I was growing up, it was probably soccer.
Yeah.
So that's definitely helped our club. And because we've got more members, you obviously your finances improve and you can do these fantastic things from around the club. We've also got a lot of people who put in a lot of hard work that every GAA club that you don't see who, you know, who are attending the lights every day or who are searching for funds from the government or funds from the council, you know, applying for all of that and getting us grants that where we can buy these things. So there's a lot of things that you wouldn't know is happening. People just go along their business and get it done, which is reaping rewards for the whole club.
Yeah, it's that expertise, I suppose. It's kind of having that kind of thinking a wee bit outside of just kind of the here and now, but obviously that long-term thinking, which a club like yourselves would only benefit from.
Absolutely, and it takes all types for a club to run. Like we're doing a lot of renovations in the club now at the minute, and you know we've got a few of our seniors, our senior members. I'm talking boys who are retired from work. Who like I just lift up a roof and get the club every time I drive past. You know, no matter what time it is, their car is in there and they're in doing that work.
Yeah.
You know, likes of Brian McCambridge, Hector Castley, Joe. All these boys, they're putting in serious work, and it goes unnoticed because it's outside the town, and you really go to it if you want to go to the pitch. People don't know the work that's going on.
Yeah, but it's that there. Like, what about for yourselves then? So you mentioned about when you were coming through, there was a lot of boys coming towards the end of the career. What about now? Like when you're looking at the young fellas coming through, like how's that kind of transpiring? You were mentioning about some underage success as well that you've been experiencing.
We've got a good mix. We've got the good mix just starting to happen now. I think maybe the last 2 or 3 years, we've had more young boys coming through, but I think we've still got a lot of experienced boys who are setting an example for these young boys. So it's starting to look like a good mix. You know, we've got a few of the players like myself, Mike McCarry, I suppose we'll say we've only got about 4 or 5 years left. we're in the closer end to 40. But and we've got boys who are coming in 18, and it's just a good mix. And no, it's great. It's just, I suppose it's just like a club. Each individual has their own part to play. The young boys coming through need to put their head down and work hard and try to benefit the team. Whereas the older boys need to work hard, make sure the younger boys don't take your position, and you know, try to steer, try to leave a philosophy, or you know, try to leave the club team in a better position than you got it. So that's, I think your motivation for playing and your targets change as you do get older. Yeah. But I also think you get more selfish. You know, I really want another championship. And the last two intermediate championships against Aldergrove, against Dunloy, probably a lot of teams are saying this, but I thought we left behind us. And it's because I'm getting older and don't have too many years left. I just really want, you know, a run.
Yeah.
Like we have 2011, so you know,
yeah that's what I was going to ask about 2011, and he's obviously what he's won the intermediate championship there, and he's won it in 2008 as well, is that right?
Yeah.
So like if you're looking at that kind of success that you're having there, and look, there's a lot of clubs, like, you know, across the county as well, you know, and say the younger players who win it in those years and think, oh, it's great, we'll be in the final every year, this is sort of normal. But then it just goes to show you kind of, and there's clubs with longer time without winning it than that even.
Yeah, like when we won that championship, like I was really thinking that we'd kick on, and we'd, you know, we had that was a good team that we had in 2011, and it was quite a young team. It was quite a young team, and we had plenty of years left in us. And I thought that if that team stayed together, that we would get up to Division One, which we did do, but we yo-yoed up and down. But I thought that team should have stayed in Division One and competed in Division One. I think we drew Cargill in the 2012 first round of the championship that year, which obviously wasn't great. But it's something that disappoints me that team didn't kick on and improve, you know, and get up in Division One and stay there.
Yeah, and like for 2021, whatever form the season takes, I suppose we don't really know at the minute. Like that kind of championship then is the main target, I assume, anyway, for yous. You know, that would be the kind of thing that yous are aiming for there. And look, you're probably looking at Dunloy probably still being, you know, intermediate next year. St Paul's obviously were strong too. Moneyglass, I suppose they maybe got the senior, but then you presumably have someone coming down. So like the competitiveness within the intermediate championship is there and always has been, really.
Yeah, the Intermediate Champions has always been like a championship. You know, there's five or six teams that could win it in a year. I think if I'm right, then this year's championship, I'm assuming Monégas will play senior, but I don't think anybody will come down because they'll still be a Division One. It's still playing Division One, so I don't think. I think if you're playing Division One, you know, you might want to play senior football. So so that's taking one competitive team out of the Intermediate Championship. But yeah, there's still a lot of teams that can win in any given day.
Yeah, just look a wee bit at your inter-county career then as well. So you mentioned about the 22 years involved with the club. You were involved in the 2007. You were involved with that campaign. So Tommy Murphy Cup and everything that went with that too.
Yeah,
so it was your first exposure to the county setup.
Yeah, well, no, I made my debut in 2006. I was an on-new sub against Fermanagh in the championship that year. I don't know if I remember, it was a real wet day, and there's a story on about one of the county board members taking John Finucane's shoes. So I was involved in 2006. Didn't get much game time, and then 2007 is when I started playing more league games and championship games.
Yeah, so was it about, I suppose you're kind of looking, if you look back kind of on what your involvement with the county setup, you played at, you know, higher levels throughout, you know, obviously Antrim's in Division 4 at the minute, but, you know, you obviously went up the divisions during your time when you were there. Like, what was that experience like for you?
It was great. Again, I think we rode, the wave of St Gall's success. They had a lot of boys. They were obviously doing well in club football, and they had a lot of boys that brought the county football team forward. And you know, we had a lot of good athletic players that went from Division 4 up to Division 2. And that was great. Like, you know, it gave you confidence, you know, Antrim have very good footballers, and you know, they've probably been. You know, they probably haven't been performing as well as they should be performing, and that was something that I always thought as a player, that, you know, that we shouldn't be where we're at because we've got so many good players, club football so good, but it's just one of those things that never really materialised. We never stayed up in Division 3 or Division 2. You know, we came straight back down again.
Yeah. But it's, I suppose it's that, and that's the key, and it's probably what you're saying about with Ballymena too, being in Division 1, it's that sustained staying up there, competing every year, like taking the beatings maybe the first year, but doing enough to stay in with a chance and building upon that really is kind of how Antrim need to go. Well, it's how it needed to go then, you know, when they were up in Division 2.
Yeah, that's it. And even now, getting out of Division 4 is as hard as winning Division 3.
Yeah.
You know, getting out of Division 4 is very tricky because it's a bit like the Intermediate Championship. You've got teams that are unpredictable. You don't know what they're going to be like on any given day. You take this year, for example. I watched Antrim against Limerick in Port Nolan, and I thought they were brilliant.
Yeah.
I thought they were really, really, really good. And their next game was away to Wicklow, and Aughrim's always a hard place to go. I know that from experience, it's always a hard place to go. But I was fully confident that they would beat Wicklow and then beat Waterford. But then obviously COVID happened, and we had to wait a couple of months, and then Wicklow gave Antrim a hiding, and I just didn't expect that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I suppose you're looking at this year, like, that result, the Wicklow result, was a bit of a freak result. It would never have happened in the original time slot. I think they were due, I think it was obviously, yeah, the Limerick win. There was the draw against Carlow just before that when Antrim needed something from that game, otherwise they were out of the running, and then they hammered it to the team that were top of the league, and it's all in their own hands.
That the draw against Carlow was a big point lost, I think. That was definitely a point lost, and I think that caused a lot of problems. But yeah, like you said, you were going against a team. But that's what I mean. Like Limerick, I think they were 4-0. They had won four games, and they were coming to play Antrim, and you're thinking, God, this Limerick team must be good. But Antrim absolutely destroyed them.
Yeah.
I was so impressed watching it. It was the first game I had watched of Anderlecht that year, and I was really impressed. You know, and if they played like that against any of the Division 3 teams, I would have been fairly confident they would have beaten as well.
Yeah, because you saw it in the Championship then, like, okay, they lost out to Cavan, but, you know, Cavan didn't have it all their own way, and then obviously Cavan went on to have what they, their season, how it worked out too.
Absolutely. I think it's just if like winning breeds winning. If you're winning constantly and you know, and it's a bit like Dublin now. Dublin in the last couple of years in All Ireland finals have been under pressure, but they just seem to have this mentality that, you know, well, we don't lose Championship games, so don't panic. You know, you know, we don't lose Championship games. Whereas, you know, I feel sometimes as Antrim players, we've had like kind of an inferiority complex that, you know, you're 3 or 4 points up with 10 minutes ago, and you're going, what's going on here?
Yeah.
We might win this game, and you start panicking. And I know, and I'm speaking from personal experience. You look and go, gee, we're winning this game. Mm. You know, what's happening? And you get a wee bit panicky on the ball.
Yeah. It's like that there, like you mentioned, that Dublin's a good example. You know, Dublin are 3 or 4 points down to Mayo with 10 minutes ago, and you put an MLA on it that Dublin would win that game still. You know, like, they're, you're so confident they'll just keep taking over and they do what they do. And it's probably a reverse of that.
Yeah, and there's no, with the Dublin team, there's no change of tactics, there's no change of pattern of play. They just stick to what they've been told, and they just have this confidence and obviously a wild lot of ability, and they just keep kicking the points over, and when there's a goal opportunity, they're ruthless.
Yeah, your own time then, you, with Antrim, you obviously had that horrible injury that you had to come back from there. Was you know, getting back playing full stop was obviously the focus there, but I suppose putting on the Antrim jersey again was a big motivation there.
Yeah, it was. Like, there's a few times that I had that motivation of putting on the Antrim jersey. You know, when I went to London, coming back, I had that. But that injury I had against St John's, it was the sorest thing that's ever happened. I ripped my quad. I ripped all my groin off the muscle and off the bone, and I tore all my lower abs. And I was black from my chest right down to my knee, just in bruising. And it was wild sore, and I couldn't walk properly for a long, long time. And I got back into training, and I really wanted to play, and really wanted to play that year. And I thought that was going to be my last year. And I just did a lot of rehab with the physios and worked really hard. And I kind of aimed for the last two games of the National League. And I think I played in the second last game of the National League with the injury. But that injury definitely slowed me up from when I came back to play. I knew I could feel the difference when I was playing. That injury I didn't have the power that I would have had on my leg to jump to catch a ball or to ride through tackles. So I definitely think that injury did slow me up. But it was just my complete motivation to play for them, because I suppose a lot of county players say it was all I knew. You know, I was playing for Antrim for a long since I was 20. I just played for Antrim, and I was just so proud to play for Antrim that I always wanted to try my best for them and get games.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier there about you playing between midfield and full back and that, and I think, you know, you played full back the last couple of years with Antrim, isn't that right? And I suppose you've had to mark some big hitters there in your time, Michael Murphy being probably top of the pack, really.
Yeah, but all throughout my career with Antrim, I kind of went from, my first year in that 2007 under Joey Gormley, I played halfback the whole year. Paul Dougherty was fullback, and then we played Derry in the Championship in Casement, and for whatever reason, a couple of days before the game, they changed me and Paul. Paul went halfback, I went to fullback, and I marked the end of the dune and got a roasting. throughout my whole career, I was kind of in and out of midfield and fullback. It just always depended on who we had. You know, I think, you know, I was at county level anyway. I wouldn't say I ever had a natural position where, you know, I suited, you know, more of a utility player at times. I think that went against me as well, but I hated full back at the start, and then towards the end I loved it. Yeah. Just that one to one battle. You didn't have to worry about anything else other than battling with your man. You know, I really enjoyed that position towards the end of it. And as you play it more, you get more comfortable and you get to understand it a bit more. I enjoyed full back.
You mentioned about London, and I wanted to ask you about that because you had the novelty, obviously, of playing against Antrim in that year. Whenever you were in, were you captain of London as well that year? Is that
I
right?
Was captain of London. Yeah, I was captain of London. I played for London for 3 years, and I was captain too. I went over to London to do my PGCE, my teaching, and I did it in East London, and then I got a job in Colchester, which is in Essex. And when I first landed London, I had no intention of playing. You know, the manager, the London manager, asked me to play National League, but I didn't want to. It was fierce traveling. When I did play for London, I traveled 3.5 hours to training and 3.5 hours back. So the first year, I wasn't really interested in playing. Didn't play in National League, and then the University of East London I was at had a Gaelic tournament. The British Championship was on. And we went to Birmingham, we played in it, and I really enjoyed it. And we ended up winning the C level of it. And the manager then asked me would I come and join the championship panel. I thought I did start to miss football. I was in the gym doing gym stuff, but I was doing gym stuff for no reason. I was just doing gym stuff for football. So I went in and played, and we played Roscommon in the championship that year. And then the year afterwards, I was captain, and we played Mayo. And Mayo beat us after extra time. I love playing for London. You know, the people say, you know, what was it like playing for London? It was no different playing for London than it was for Antrim or New York. We trained equally as hard. But what I really liked about it was that I was captain, and I was not always sure of my place in the team, but I was confident that on match day that I'd get playing and I'd be starting. So I had that freedom just to play and to enjoy the game. Whereas every single game I ever played for Antrim, even at the start of my career to the end of the career, I was like, right, if I have a bad game, I might not start the next day. So you get that pressure. So playing for London, you didn't have that pressure. And I think the 3 years that I was in London really brought me on as a footballer. It gave me confidence. You know, as playing against, you know, the great footballers against London. And we were matching up to them, and, you know, give you that confidence that you actually can play at that level. I loved it. And then obviously when we got Drury Antrim in the back door, I remember sitting in my classroom, and I think the draw was on Good Morning Ireland or some radio station anyway. Yeah. And for whatever reason, it never came into my head that there's a possibility like that London could play Antrim. It just never came into my head.
Yeah.
And obviously the draw came out, and so we're playing Antrim, and I just couldn't believe it. So excited. I text home while we're playing Antrim, and the reason, I suppose, it was more obviously when you're away from your home county and you're playing against them, you want to play against them, but it's also that I knew that I was coming home that summer, and yeah. I was thinking, right, Beggar's going to be there. Beggar's going, you know, this is my chance to try to get onto the squad for 2012. Yeah. So I had that motivation, and obviously the motivation of playing against your friends and against your home county. So it was great. So it was.
And it was a tight enough game too, wasn't it, in the end?
Yeah, Kevin Niblock, I think he was over doing a PGCE as well, so he really should be playing for London, not under that year. But he came down from wherever he was at, and he carried the ball over the line, and they ended up beating us by a couple of points that year. But no, it was a great occasion to see everybody and have them over at London. Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, I think Tomás McCann just got married the day before, so I think we took advantage of Tomás and Mick maybe being tired and having to get the flight that morning.
Yeah, it was kind of to kind of work in your favor, and yeah, it might have been the Yeah, if with a bit more luck, rub of the green or something like that, there, who knows what way it could have went there. And
Exactly. But I just remember never being a sight for a game in my life, because again with London, I was kind of in and out between midfield and full back, and the whole way up to that game, I was full back, and I got all the notes on Michael McGill, who I would have been Morgan, watched all the video, and then just the week of the championship said, Sean, you're going to the midfield. So I played midfield that day. So yeah, it was great, and I was happier to play midfield because I thought, right, if I'm midfield, I can show myself more than I would in fullbacks. Because in fullback, all I'd be doing is stopping Mike McGill. Now, and I know that's no easy task, but
Yeah.
I could go out the field and I could see what show what I could do, and try to get
Yeah.
on this team next year. And
Yeah.
then I was devastated when I had a good game that day, and I was devastated when I found out that Beggar was leaving. I was for nothing. I have to start all back again. So.
Yeah, it was like the shop window was closed then.
But then I came home that year, and I had a heart problem, and I wasn't able to do any exercise for 6 months. And again, I thought, God, I'm never going to. And Frank Dawson had just taken over the team, and he held trials, and I rang Frank up and says, look, I want to go to the trials, but I'm not allowed to do any training. I'm not allowed to go for walks because of the heart condition that I had. And he says, well, just come along and watch. It was horrible because I didn't know whether he could drop me at any stage. Now, luckily, he didn't drop me, and
Yeah.
my heart problems got sorted out, and I was able to play that year. But no, it was good times playing for London, and especially against Andra.
Yeah. I think looking, yeah, I suppose now at this stage for the lads who are in there with the Antrim team now, and Enda McGinley coming in, taking over, and with the management team he's kind of assembled there. Like, it's, and I know being in Division Four is not the place to be, but the promise has been shown the last couple of years with the current team, and they finished third there 3 years in a row, and it is a competitive division. But what sort of hopes would you be holding out for the current squad, I suppose, coming into the new championship?
Well, I think just like we're saying, they've got a great blend of youth and experience. And I think some of the older boys who came into the team last year, really helped the team.
Yeah.
The likes of Mick and Paddy and Kobo, Sweeney coming back, they gave that experience. And I know all those boys are staying on this year except Kobo, who I think is retired. I don't know if that's out yet, but I don't think he's playing this year anyway. Those boys will know how to get out of Division Four, and they'll know what it takes, to win those National League games. Because like even when I was playing, you always knew the first two games of the National League were so important,
Yeah.
because after those two games, you had a 2 week break for Sigerson, and you needed to win those games to get in the window. So the more senior players will have that knowledge, and then you've got quite a few new boys who've been in the panel for the last 2 3 years who are now starting to show. And then, if you look at the club championship this year, like the club championship was super, and there's some great players who are young, who have been on the county, who hopefully will be called up and are on the training panel now, who will add to the team. So I think I'd be quite confident that they could get promotion. And I think
Yeah.
I'm assuming that would be their main target, their main goal is to get out of Division Four and into Division Three and playing more competitive football.
Yeah. No, I think so. And I think when they're looking at it, and in terms of what's been done the last few years, and yeah, you mentioned the senior championship as well there, like from the year just gone too. Like, we mentioned intermediate championship being competitive, but sure, look at that too, where you've it's not, it's like Cargill's won three in a row, but they've not won them easy, any of them. I was chatting to Mick in the podcast about it too, and he was saying the same thing. Like, I think the extra time for two of them maybe, and won the other by a point.
Yeah, and you've got four or five teams who could win that championship in the last 3 or 4 years. There's probably not too many other counties can say the same thing, that there's four or five teams that can win the senior championship. I think the quality of the senior club championship last year showed the quality of footballer that is in Antrim. And I think with Enda McGinley coming through. Like if I was a player, I'd be excited about playing under Enda and with Sean Kelly in there as well. I'd be very excited about it because you know they'll have that bit of craft that an All Ireland winner only has. So he knows what it takes to win. He knows what it takes to get across the line. So hopefully he can motivate and drive the rest of the boys on.
Yeah, no, very true. Sean, thanks very much for giving your time to chat to me about this. I really appreciate it. And yeah, best of luck with the 2021 season. Hopefully all goes well. We all get playing again some stage.
Happy to get out the front door, yeah.
Aye, yeah, definitely.
No, thanks very much. I enjoyed that.
If you sign up to the SAFcast on Patreon at patreon.com/thesafcast, you'll receive early access episodes and bonus podcasts. Thanks.